So I want to paint two pictures for you. First of all, you know how it is when you come home from a long trip and you unlock the front door, you walk in the house, and you just feel like, oh, I'm home. That's how I feel when I get on the prayer line. I feel like, oh, I'm home. I can relax. This is where I'm supposed to be. Y'all pray for us. My job has been very demanding lately. Pray that the Lord will open the door so that we can get on the prayer line and teach more often. I know the Lord wants to do that. Y'all just pray that that door will open up at the right time. Let me paint another picture for you. When I was a teenager, I lived in Hawaii, and I learned there how to surf and paddleboard and things like that. And the idea is you take your paddleboard or your surfboard and you paddle out from the shore a ways to where the waves are coming in. And then you watch for a wave and you see a big wave coming and you start paddling toward the shore as hard as you can. And that wave catches you and carries you on into the shore. Now, that's the way Debbie and I feel when we go on a mission trip. It's like we have been caught by a wave, and that wave is just carrying us, and we're really not doing anything but being pushed forward by that wave. And that wave is your prayers. That wave is the intercessors that have been bathing the trip for sometimes months in advance, and then they're praying for us while we're there. And Debbie and I are just riding on the wave. There's nothing special about us. And yet, because we're willing to go, and because of your prayers, we're able to watch God love on people in supernatural ways. And I'm going to tell you some stories about how he did that. Debbie and I went last month to Uganda. It was a two-week trip. And actually, it was a very difficult trip. Difficult because of all the travel involved. We started out in northwest Uganda at refugee camps. Then we went down to central western Uganda and ministered to some clergy there. And then we went down to far southwestern Uganda and ministered in a 4 or 5 day revival conference that was going on in Rentobo. And so there was a lot. Matter of fact, there was so much travel that from the time Debbie and I left our house to go on the trip until the time we got back, I figured that we had spent 140 hours either in airplanes, small buses, cars, airports. In other words, just traveling. We spent 140 hours. But I'm telling you, the trip was well worth it. Let me tell you an embarrassing story on me. About a month before the trip, this was a trip with Bishop Chuck. He said there's two parts to the trip. The first part is mostly ministering in the refugee camps, and the second part is mostly ministering at this revival conference. And if you want to, you can just come for the second half. And my first thought was, oh man, those refugee camps are going to be hot, they're going to be crowded, there are going to be lots of people, and we're going to spend hours and hours standing in the sun praying for people. That's going to be miserable. And I'm telling you, as soon as I thought that, the Holy Spirit said, shame on you. And I thought, oh, man, yeah. And I mean, the Lord just broke my heart because he said, if you don't go, what hope are these people going to have? They need somebody that can pray in faith and believe for miracles. And I thought, okay, I don't care how long I have to stand in the sun and praying for folks. I'm going to be happy to go. I apologize to the Lord. That was kind of selfish on my part. But, you know, sometimes we get that way. But this trip was worth it. I mean, it was worth all the effort. It was worth all the travel. Before we even went on the trip, about a little less than a week before we get on that airplane, Debbie was diagnosed with endometrial cancer. And they said, we want to do surgery. And we said, okay, well, schedule the surgery for after we get back. We're going. A day or two later, Grace and Pastor Jane get on the phone with Debbie and start praying for her. And Debbie said, boy, that was a powerful prayer they prayed. She said, I could really feel it, and I could feel God touching me. Well, before y'all prayed, she had been sort of like the woman in the Bible, the woman with the issue of blood, had been bleeding daily for a long time. And after that prayer, the symptoms stopped. There were a couple of symptoms that have kind of come and gone a little bit over the last month, but the symptoms have gone. They did an ultrasound. The wall of the uterus is much thinner now. There's just lots of signs of healing going on. I'm certain that Debbie's healed and God's going to take care of it. But anyway, so it was a difficult trip. It was difficult just to get started, difficult there. But I'm telling you, God moved in so many ways. Everywhere we went, the Lord led me and Debbie to encourage people to get involved in praying for the sick. I want you to imagine, I want you to see this through my eyes, because it's important that you know what's going on when you're praying for us and what's happening. And so we arrive at this refugee camp. These refugees are from South Sudan. They're Christians that have been run off of their land, run out of their country. They've been put in these fairly small plots each family gets. The ground is hard. It's not nearly as nice as it was in South Sudan. They're displaced. So anyway, the very first day at this refugee camp, even though it's rainy season, they hadn't had rain for 3 months, and I mean, they were really struggling. As Bishop Chuck began to speak, it began to rain. And it rained. It was a hard rain, and everybody realized, hey, this is a sign that God's showing up here, and God wants to bless us. And the other part to that was that then when we started praying for folks later, it was cooled down, so it was nice out there. Anyway, so after Bishop Chuck spoke, we started praying for people. Just imagine that you're standing, I actually got to stand under a tree. You know how it is, it can be dusty and hot. It was not quite so dusty after the rain. We're standing under a tree, and you've got a line of 15 people standing in front of you, and they all need prayer. They need physical healing, emotional healing, deliverance. They need something. So as the first one came up, it was a woman that was having female problems, and she needed prayer. She was in pain right then. And so I got another woman, the next woman in line behind her, and I asked her to come up, asked her to hold her hands out. I anointed her hands with oil, prayed a prayer of activation over her. You know, in Mark 16, Jesus says, these signs will follow those who have believed. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. They will cast out demons. And so I just prayed that prayer over her to activate that in her. And then I told her, now you lay hands on her stomach there and pray for her. And so we prayed for this first woman, and she said, well, I could feel something that feels like warmth, but I still feel some pain. And so I got another woman out of the line. I anointed her hands. And now I got both of these ladies praying for this one woman. Now listen to how we're doing this and visualize this with me. And we ask the person what they need the Lord to do for them. We begin to pray for them, and the prayers are prayers of commandment. We are commanding them to be healed. We're commanding the symptoms to go. We're commanding they be healed from the root of it, whatever it is that's causing it, commanding the pain to go, you know, that kind of thing. This, because this is the way Jesus prayed when he prayed for people. And we do that in Jesus' name, in the authority that he has delegated to us. And so that's how we're praying. And then after 30 seconds, and we're not hollering or spitting on anybody or anything like that, after about 30 seconds, as the Holy Spirit leads, we'll ask them, so as we prayed for you, did you feel anything? And it's okay to say no. Sometimes their first answer is no, I didn't feel anything. Well, this lady had felt at least some warmth. You always know if they start feeling some warmth or start feeling, one guy said he felt like he was being stitched up on the inside. He said stuff started moving around. Other people said the same kind of thing. Well, things are kind of moving around. And so you know when that starts happening. Sometimes they'll feel electricity. You know when that starts happening that their healing has begun. And so you want to pursue that or press in on that. And so we got this two women praying for the woman, and she says, I feel better now. Well, you were hurting when you came up here, yes. What's the pain level now? Well, it's completely gone. Well, move around a little, check and make sure. No, it's completely gone. And so we praised the Lord, and I looked at those two ladies that helped me pray for her, and I took their hands, and I pointed to their hands, and I said, see these hands? God just moved through your hands to heal this woman, and he wants to do it some more. And they said, good. They smiled. And by the time we finished praying for those 15 people, most of them were still there helping us pray for other people. They were loving the idea that God was moving through them to heal the sick. And I told them, I said, go keep doing that. Find more people to pray for and let the Lord move through you. There was a lady later at the revival conference. Actually, it was a teenager. She was probably 17, I'm guessing. A woman had come up, and she was mostly paralyzed on her right side. So her right leg didn't work very well. She couldn't lift her right arm very high. And so the next lady in line was this 17-year-old girl. And I got her, brought her over, anointed her hand, said, okay, now I want you to pray for this lady. Oh, I can't pray for her. Well, why not? Oh, I don't know how to do that. I said, well, and I read that scripture to her, you know, that Jesus said these signs will follow those that believe. I said, you're a believer, right? Well, yeah. Okay, well, if you're a believer, then Jesus wants to work through you to heal this lady. She says, I just don't think I can do that. Well, let's try. Okay, I'll try. And so I told her to lay one hand on this lady's leg and lay the other hand on this lady's arm and just pray for her and command that whatever has caused this palsy or paralysis, whatever it is, just command it to go in Jesus' name and pray as the Lord leads you. And so, you know, we prayed for her for a minute and asked her how she felt. Well, I can move my arm a little bit more. And so we prayed for her again. And she said, well, I can move my leg more and I can move my arm a lot more. And so we prayed for her again, and she was able to move her arm completely and her leg completely. And she said, I'm completely healed. And we asked her, you know, we want to make sure. We don't want to play around with this stuff. And so we asked her to move around and test it, make sure it's right. Yeah, I'm completely healed. And so I looked over at that 17-year-old girl that had prayed for her, and I said, see, God used you to heal her. What do you think of that? And she said, it was wonderful. That's the way I feel when we get to pray for people and see them healed. It's wonderful to watch God do that. There at the revival conference, there were, I don't know, I think there were probably maybe 5,000 people in attendance any given day, maybe 10,000 people total that came to that revival conference. And we had set up a ministry tent, about a 20 by 40 foot tent. And the idea was that our team, there were about 10 people on our team. Well, there were about 10 people on our team, but our denomination, Charismatic Episcopal Church, the CEC as we call it, there were several CEC bishops that were traveling with us. And boy, they rolled up their sleeves and they were willing to pray for people and cast out demons and do all kinds of stuff. So there were probably, I don't know, maybe 16, 18 of us all together crowded into this little tent, and they had a big line outside the tent for people coming in as we were praying for them. And we saw God do lots of miracles in that tent. Well, I'll give you an example. For instance, a woman brought her son in. He was, I don't know, a young teenager. He'd gone mute. Something had happened when he was, 7 or 8 years old, and for some reason he couldn't talk, and he hadn't talked for years. And so she brought him in, and again, we started praying for him. We got other people involved praying for him. And after a few minutes, he said, hallelujah. Everybody goes, was that him? Yeah, that was him. And so we encouraged him to try. Amen. Amen. That's how they say amen in Uganda. By the time that boy left, his mother was dancing around and he was saying all kinds of things. And so God did lots of miracles. We saw people delivered, completely set free. One day we got to pray for a man. Actually, I guess this was in the refugee camps. First day we prayed for a man that had racing thoughts. In other words, he'd just seen so many horrible things happen to his family and neighbors and others that it was just going over and over and over in his mind, and he just couldn't get away from it. It was hard for him to do anything. And so he had these racing thoughts. We prayed for him early in the day, and later then we had a meal, and later in that meal he came back to find us and tell us his mind was completely cleared. Well, we saw that happen a lot and some of it was demonic and some of it wasn't, but whatever it was, you know, the Lord took care of those things. This is what's happening when you're praying. I mean, you, when you intercessors are praying for us, these are the kind of things that are happening as a result. Tell you a funny story. We got to stop at a couple of churches in the central part of Uganda, Western Uganda, and minister to clergy primarily. And we prayed for, you know, everybody we could pray for. And then that night we had dinner at the bishop's house, the bishop over that particular area. And he was telling us the testimonies that he was hearing. His wife had gotten healed. One of his sons had gotten healed. The pastor of that particular church had been in a Boda Boda accident. For the Mzungu that don't know, that Boda Boda is like a motorcycle taxi. And it really comes from the name border to border. They'll take you anywhere. Anyway, he'd had a Boda Boda accident and hurt his wrist. It had been in pain for a long time. And the Lord touched him and healed him. And so the next day, he was riding with us on the bus to the next place we were going to. He was going to stay and minister with us. And he told us about that, how his wrist had been healed and he was pain-free. And what was funny was every day after that, he would find us and say, "I just want to let you know, it's still healed." And he would hold his wrist up, you know, no pain. And he did that every day while we were there. Praise the Lord. While we were there at that particular church, there was a man, I don't know, probably in his late 30s, early 40s, brought a baby up. The baby was about 2 weeks old, and he wanted us to pray for the baby, and it looked very sick. And he said that the baby was sick because his wife had died in childbirth. And so here he is left to take care of the baby all by himself. He wasn't sure what to do. The baby was sick. Could we pray for the baby? And as we're praying for the baby, I started praying for the baby, and Debbie saw it, and the Holy Spirit prompted her, and she came over right away and said, "So what's wrong with this baby?" "Well, it's sick, and mother died, and we're feeding it cow's milk." And Debbie goes, "Oh no, the Holy Spirit says you can't feed it cow's milk, and you need to find a woman in the church that is breastfeeding a baby now, that has milk, in other words, and let her be the nurse for this two-week-old baby. She needs to be breastfed." And so they said they eventually found somebody, and we heard reports later that the baby was starting to throw up. And Debbie said, "Tell them, don't worry about that. That's because the baby's just drinking too much milk. He's getting all the nutrition that it needs." Anyway, when Debbie got back, you know, she was supposed to have this surgery, which, by the way, got canceled because her symptoms had gone away. So she was talking to her doctor, and she mentioned the story about this baby. And the doctor said, "Well, if they'd continued to feed that baby cow's milk, it probably would have died. You probably saved that baby's life." And so, of course, Debbie didn't save the baby's life. It was the Holy Spirit, with that word of knowledge moving through her, that was able to save that baby's life. So let me tell you a couple other things that happened. One is good news, bad news, but it's a great lesson for all of us. There was a lady with us on the team. I don't know what happened, but she's probably, I don't know, in her late 50s maybe, early 50s, and she started losing her hearing about 30 years ago. Well, about 10 years ago, she started wearing hearing aids and has been wearing hearing aids ever since. So as we prayed for people, we prayed for a lot of people that were either deaf in one ear or deaf in both ears, and God healed them. And she got a chance to pray for a lot of those folks. It just so happened that those that couldn't hear would get in her line, and she would pray for them, and they would be healed. Well, after 2 or 3 days of this, she said her hearing aids started hurting her, and so she took them out. And when she did, she noticed she could hear a little bit better than before without her hearing aids. And then the next day, she could hear even better. And the next day, she could hear even better. And by the time we finished the trip and we're driving back to the Entebbe airport to leave the country, she said, "You know, it's been so long, I'm not sure what normal hearing is like, but this is so much better. This has to be normal hearing." And so we all rejoiced with her that the Lord had touched her and healed her from this chronic ailment, whatever it was. And then we heard a report about 2 weeks later that she had lost her hearing and she had to start wearing her hearing aids again. I tell you what I think happened, and we need to be careful about this, is the Lord heals us of something, and then in a day, a week, a month, a year, the devil comes back to us because he wants us to take that sickness back. And so he'll bring false symptoms, lying symptoms, symptoms of sickness to us. And our first thought is, oh no, God must not have healed me. I guess I'm getting this back, or my healing is going away, or something like that. But the truth is, you're still not sick. It's just the devil bringing symptoms to you. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to get you to accept those symptoms, because he knows if you'll accept those symptoms, you'll give up your healing and that sickness will come back on you. And I believe this is what happened to her. I know Debbie has gone through some of that with this endometrial cancer, those symptoms. And every once in a while, I'll hear her, devil, I'm not taking any of this back. That's just a false symptom. Sometimes we have to do that. We have to contend sometimes for what the Lord gives us. Let me tell you one last story. There at the revival conference, there were times there were just so many people that needed healing. What Bishop Chuck did was he would teach for a while, and then he would tell them, look, if you need healing, come up to the front, come up near the platform. And when he did that, there would be maybe 2,000, 2,500 people that would come up in front of the platform. And again, I want you to imagine you're there in Uganda. It's hot. There are tents all around this big field. People are sitting in chairs in those tents, and there's a big platform with speakers. You're up on the platform with the bishop, and all of a sudden people start coming out of their chairs, coming out of those tents, and they start filling this field in front of the platform. Then the bishop starts calling out things that he hears that the Lord wants to heal, like somebody's deaf or female cancer. And then he looks around to the team and he looks at you. What do you hear the Lord say? And you heard the Lord say there's somebody that has knee problems and they need to be healed. Or there's someone is having headaches, you've had headaches, your head has been hurting for weeks or months, and the Lord wants to heal that. And anyway, as you hear the Lord, you call these things out, it gets announced over the loudspeaker. And this is what happens. You can watch as something gets called out, you can watch the people that have that, and you can see their hope going up, and then you can see their eyes light up, and maybe their hands go up as they start praising the Lord when they realize that God has healed them. And you're looking at 2,500 people. I mean, it's just a sea of people, and you're watching God touch this one and this one and this one and this one. And afterwards, Bishop Chuck would say, okay, now, if you have been touched by the Lord and healed in some way, I want you to raise your hands and wave your hands. Everybody raised their hands. And we said, no, no. He'd tell them, no, no, put your hands down. I'm talking about just those who know that God is healed. If you had a headache, the headache's gone. Knee pain, knees pain's gone. Something like that. And again, almost everybody would raise their hands and wave their hands. And we heard testimony after testimony after testimony about the reality of that. I mean, cancer being healed, headaches going away, chronic conditions of all kinds being healed. And as I was watching that, I couldn't help but tears well up in my eyes as my heart was just breaking as I knew how much God loved these people and how it was like the Lord was saying, I have so looked forward to this time when I could touch them and heal them. I've been waiting for a long time to be able to love them in this way and set them free. And so imagine that you're there and that's what's going on when you're there. This is the fruit of your prayers. What we're doing when Debbie and I go, all we're doing is we're letting Jesus live through us. This is the whole point of why Jesus died on the cross. Yes, he died on the cross so our sins could be forgiven. But more than that, he died on the cross and went back to the Father so he could send the Holy Spirit. And then through the Holy Spirit, he can live inside of us. He can live his life through us. And the Lord really challenged me. Here, let me share a scripture with you. If you have a Bible, turn to Romans 8, and verse 29, Romans 8, 29. Jesus says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren." Listen to that. He has predestined you to be conformed, that is, to become the image of his Son Jesus. And he's not talking about the image meaning you got five fingers on each hand and five toes on each foot. We're not, and hair on your head. We're not talking about that. We're talking about that you're conformed to the image of Jesus, so that every day Jesus operates through you in his fullness. Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 22. Ephesians 1, 22 says, well, let's look at 22 and 23. "And he, God, put all things in subjection under the feet of Jesus, and gave Jesus as head over all things to the church." The church, that's us, right? "Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Listen, Jesus doesn't want to have us be pretend Jesuses or be Jesus and walk around and say something holy every once in a while. He wants us to operate with the fullness that he operated in. He wants to live through us in fullness. He wants to be able to touch the deaf and the blind and the crippled and those with cancer. He wants to be able to do that over and over and over again. As we were coming back here and I was thinking about all the things that the Lord did in Uganda, he said, "How I long to do those things in the United States. How I long to touch people that way in the United States." Look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Verses 17 through 19, Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, "So that Christ may live in your hearts, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge." Now listen to this, "the love of Christ, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God." Now just think about that for a minute. God doesn't want you to have a cup full. He doesn't want you to have two teaspoons of his fullness and his power. He wants you to operate with all the fullness that Jesus operated with while he walked this earth. The Lord really challenged me in Uganda about that. He said, "What are you doing just praying for folks hoping they'll be a little healed? I want you to pray for every one of them and see every one of them completely healed and completely delivered." This is how Jesus operates and how he wants to operate. And he did that. And it was wonderful and exciting.